Blog Talk Radio.
Take your eyes off. There's nothing here to see. Just trying to keep my head together. And as we make a vow, let us remember how nothing good could last forever.
Scott Enstra Network.
Thursday, 5/12/2016. Tomorrow is Friday the 13th, and I'm sure Julia will have something to say about that. So we'll leave that for tomorrow. Tonight, what if? And the chat room's open. And if you have any questions or comments, please go ahead. I'm only going to do this for an hour tonight. And I just want to go over some things. What if? Now, unfortunately, things are bad. I just looked at another video where military armaments being transported on trains all over the place. And, you know, it's a sad day. I mentioned that, you know, the World War II generation, the Korean War, and including two of the Vietnam vets, that what a sad day for those who love this country, fought to protect it, to be honorable and to serve as they were called. Whether they were doing the things that were right or not, it wasn't the point. The point was that as a nation, they were serving. They just didn't know. And, you know, the cat's out of the bag. Maybe some people knew more than others over time. I know that my father knew a lot of things, and I don't know how he did because the internet was not available to him. And so however he did his research or how he knew, I don't know. He's not with us anymore, God bless him. But I know that his heart would break if he were alive now. If he were to see, you know, the condition of this country, I know that those who are still alive absolutely see what happened in World War II happening all over again, but in a different twist with perversion. Now, what if bestiality is legalized? What if pedophilia is legalized? Now, homosexuality has been legalized. So sodomy, they're sodomites, period. And what does this mean? This means that through those things that have been put in place by God, that there's a rebellion. There is lawlessness. There is the thinning of the veil into the spirit realm to allow the demonic to come through even more. Now, a lot of you have been in churches a long time, like myself. I became a Christian in 93. And it wasn't up until 2000 that I really understood the spirit realm to the degree, or at least started learning it, and then, you know, immediately knew that this is what I was called to do, and I've been doing it ever since. It's a few years. And what I'm doing is I'm trying to bring those things that I've learned to you. That's why I've been doing the radio and writing the books and all the other stuff. And then Julie comes in, you know, with her bringing to the table the understanding of the occult. And as we move forward with our knowledge and searching and seeking and understanding things, the depths of Satan have been revealed to us. How far down the rabbit hole this country has gone. How the churches are actually part of the world beast system. And for those that are new and listening, that shocks you. But what if the churches had been doing what they were supposed to do? What if Obama was human? What if Trump was human? What if those people who are in the military at the top, the CIA, the NSA, and a few other of the black ops, which is really what it is, if they were human? We wouldn't be where we are. Now, humans are in error. Humans are born to sin. Humans in nature can be an ugly nature. But nothing is as severe as what we have. So we need to understand that what is taking place is only taking place because these are individuals, these are creatures, these are beasts that have no empathy, have no love, have no ability to understand right from wrong. And so they're willing, just as we know that, you know, order comes out of chaos, the phoenix rising out of the ashes, that in order for them to have their utopia, for them to have what they want, there has to be mass destruction. Notice mass destruction. Remember that word was thrown around with the Bushes? Everything is orchestrated. Everything's been put in place over a very, very long period of time. Now I was going to save it for a little bit. Let me just bring it up because I think it fits this here. We've been under a maritime, the admiralty law, the international laws, the laws of the seas, those things that are under British rule, the British courts, for a very, very long time. Washington, D.C. is a prime example. Okay, now when they proclaim that, then what you see is the American flag with gold trim around it. Okay, many of you have seen this. And you'll notice that when the Bushes and Obama, when they go into whatever they go into for another nation and their conferences and so forth, you'll see the American flag, but you'll see that gold trim on it. That's not the representation of the United States, the people. This international admiralty law is represented by the gold trim. And when you see the golden eagle on top of the flag, that means that it's under military court. Okay? Do you see how this is in our face? And I know that you've seen all this. Many don't know. Many buy flags. Many think that it's pretty or whatever, and without the complete understanding that these things represent another government. They have nothing to do with the Constitution. And it's in our face. Now, the church down the road that I've talked about that has their service on Saturday night at 6:06, Julie brought us up to speed about that. Their Sunday service at 9:09. And this church has become so popular that they now have a second service, 11:11. 6:06, 9:09, 11:11. And their logo or emblem is a globe. And the foreshort view, I explained that, you know, when you take a picture of someone laying in bed and you take it from their feet towards their head, the feet look bigger than their head, right? Because it's closer, and that's called foreshort. And that's the image they give on the globe of what's they, I see, what is it called? It's called I can't remember the name of it, but it's it looks like a door. Heart of the City. So it looks like a door on the globe. It's supposed to be an H, Heart of the City. But the way they do the foreshore, it's actually a door opening into the globe. And then the other church down the road here took over a smaller church, and they put up the OX. The cross is tilted. It looks like an X, and it's a globe, and it's a circle, so it's the ox anointing. And Julie's explained about that. Well, what in the world is going on? Well, as we've been revealing, that things are not as what we thought they were. And the reason that churches do not truly teach the true word of God is because they are not from God. They are a lie, a facade put in place to do the sleight of hand, to do the pee underneath the coconuts when you switch them around and you try and figure out which one's which. So we're not truly focused on what is really going on, and we're not doing the works that we've been commanded to do. And in order to do that, the true power of the Holy Spirit, the true power in the blood of Jesus has been removed, has been tainted, has been watered down. Semiramis, seminaries, as Julie brought us up to speed, these things that come from the Vatican, these things that come from Freemasonry, have all infiltrated the church long ago. And their god is Baphomet. And so our churches are all based in Talmudic, based in the Cabal, based in everything back to the Babylonian system. And with a headship, a pastor, just like the Pope, or any cardinal or whatever they put in place, is an establishment of a CEO over the corporation, which is totally unscriptural. And without that in place, it doesn't come from God. God is a God of order. God is a God of truth. And if it's out of order and it's not of truth, then it didn't come from God. So then where does it come from? Well, obviously it comes from a doctrine of demons. And now we learn about the hybrids. We learn about humanoids. We learn about clones. We learn about reptilians and insectoids. Those things that have been around from the seed of Satan, and then now there's a massive attempt to you know, refer to that as a lie of a doctrine, when in reality it's straight out of the book. And when we look at it, the book, without the influences of those who have been, you know, polluting our minds with their view of thinking, then these things jump right out at you. Just like the first time that I sat, and I've mentioned this, in front of this gal who was going through deliverance. She comes from a very, very long line of gypsies. She herself was a pure blood gypsy. And the witchcraft was so strong that for my first, you know, deliverance, I sat there and watched it, experienced it, felt it, tasted it, could smell it. The Bible came alive. The very evil that was discussed, that we're to fight against, was standing right in front of me. And a woman that you would have never in this world ever thought she had these kinds of things in her, when in reality, it turns out we've all got them. Why? Because the church hasn't done deliverance. And why hasn't it done deliverance? Because it would have exposed themselves. You know, back in the 80s, I was hiking with a friend of mine up in the Mogollon Rim, and I've talked about that, and I've written in my book, and I did a couple of shows for Phoenix about the Mogollon Monster, which is, you know, Sasquatch. And when we were coming back, we were coming through an area called Shoofly, next to Houston Mesa. It's one of the oldest Indian ruins known, which is amazing. And it's still there. And in order to, you know, go through there, you have to go through a small town called Houston Mesa. And as we were coming around the turn, in the middle of the road, now listen to me, and I've talked about this, was this massive thing of flesh in the road that took up more than one lane. You know, you got, you know, north, southbound on a single road. This thing was so big we had to stop. Now, we get out, and we have flashlights with us. It's nighttime. It's probably about 11 at night. We're running kind of late. And we walk around it, and I don't, you know, I'm not sure how the diameter. I'm going to say it was easily 8 feet, 6 feet, at least 6 feet. And probably I could see over it, so maybe 4.5 feet high. And it was one massive blob of flesh, but no bleeding. It was like turning an animal inside out, but yet there was no head and no tail. There were no eyes, there was no brain, there was no legs, there was no arms or hooves or whatever. It was just round, but it was alive. And as I held the flashlight up to it, you know how you can put the light underneath your chin or put the light up to your hand and it'll shine through your hand and you can even see veins? It was alive. I could see that it was flesh. And I didn't smell anything. And we walked around, and by this time another car pulls up and this guy gets out who's an avid hunter. And, you know, we in that particular area, the elk are called Washington elk. They're huge. They were transplanted there during World War II from the state of Washington in order to assure that there was a supply of meat in case there were disasters within the United States that came from the war. And the habitation was so good for them that they run amok in Arizona. They're actually a problem. And between the deer and bears and everything else, well, elk are huge, but this thing was still larger than an elk could have ever been if you could turn it inside out. And I don't know, we spent maybe 10 minutes, and that was back when we didn't, you know, cameras, you know, no, I didn't have a camera with me. We didn't have cell phones, way before cell phones. And so we just left. And I don't know whatever happened to it. And the guy that got out and was walking around it, he didn't know what it was. And he'd been skinning, you know, varmints his whole life. So whatever that was, I just can't even imagine what the Gila County would have been, the sheriff's department that would have had to have dealt with that. And I never heard anything from them. Never saw anything in the paper, and never heard anything again. And what's amazing is I actually knew the chief of police and Payson, Arizona, which was just south of Houston Mesa, and he was gunned down. He was gunned down by a madman. And if any of you ever would have ever have known this man, he was a great man. He actually was my eighth grade school teacher. And that guy was such an inspiration to me because he was so honest. He was so loving to kids and people. And he was a Arizona State University officer when he was my eighth grade school teacher. And I knew him all the way from sixth grade because that's when he came into the school district and he went up through the classes with us together to write a book about kids. And then, unfortunately, one of the children actually tried to commit suicide in his living room, And it was so distraught for him that he walked away from it and then somehow landed the job as a chief of police up in Payson. And then he gets gunned down before he finishes that book. So what a strange turn of events, but you know, that whole area in Payson by the Shoofly Indian ruins has all this supernatural events taking place. That's where I ended up having a boulder thrown at me. That's where the porthole was at that I used to walk into, and then when I became a Christian, went back and shut it, and it shut, and it shut so much that the actual trail that it was on disappeared. Within a year's time, the trail ended up going another direction, actually went around it, which was weird. And the vegetation grew up. It wasn't as if people changed their mind. It was like the land changed and there was no access anymore. It was very bizarre, very bizarre. So we have all of these supernatural events that are taking place all over the place, and that was, you know, that dates back to the 80s and 90s. Now we're seeing all these UFOs and all these lights that have, you know, that's fairly large, and then several of them break away from it. Things that look like portals, that vision I saw the other night, just all this stuff is happening. But in parallel with it, we have all of this stuff happening in the government with Obama that's doing everything he can to kill every U.S. citizen in this country. See, Obama is a murderer, and he wants to kill you. He wants to kill me. He wants to kill Julie. He wants to kill our kids. He's insane. And this insanity, again, goes back to the very fact that they're not human. Because what I'm getting at, and a long way around it, is the very fact that a human themselves, even if they make mistakes, even if they're insane, even if they're capable of doing these types of murders, they're not as bad as this guy. And the only reason that this guy is as bad as he is because he's not human, I guess is my point. And the others that are in office are right along with them. The Bushes are the same way. The Bushes actually have, by other countries, orders for their arrest for war crimes. We have the Queen of England with an order for her arrest. Okay, but you never see it in the public news media. You'll never know that these things are going on. And so what if Obama is actually held accountable for what he's doing? What if the Bushes are actually brought up on charges? Well, in the present state that things are, that's not going to happen because remember I mentioned about the gold trim around the flag? Okay, the international laws, the admiralty laws, the laws of the sea, those things, you know, they're actually part of the black nobility of England that are all reptilians. They have control of everything, and so this stuff will never come to full term. So the third world countries, the ones that still somewhat maintain their own court system, are the ones that have issued arrests for them. And so, in reality, this isn't going to take place. Now, God said that he would destroy those who try and destroy the world. With all of the spent ammunition that was in Iraq and Iran and everything else that has to do with, you know, the nuclear waste and the birth defects and the tainting of the land with radiation, that's a willful attempt to destroy the planet. Fukushima, the corona that was witnessed at the epicenter in the ocean before, at the same instant that the earthquake happened, was man-made. The Corona is a prime example of harp in action at full power to actually cause ionization of the surrounding air. Now, that's, you know, the Northern Lights, Aurora Borealis, when we have sunspots, when we have electromagnetics sent to us from the sun, there's an ionization that takes place in the atmosphere, and it generally takes place in higher atmosphere because of less oxygen. Oxygen actually suppresses it. And so you have a separation of gases, and you're more apt to see the nitrogen by itself. You're more apt to see the argon by itself. You're more apt to see the helium and other things by themselves without the oxygen. Okay, and that's why we see those things up there like that. But when you have a machine, when you have an electronic device that's capable of generating a very high amount of wattage, because that's what it is, everything's rated in wattage, that will still take place. And so that's what we had. And next thing you know, Fukushima, the nuclear power plant, is disabled, completely intentional. And so now we have radiation spewing into the Pacific Ocean, and the currents take it right to California, and all the wildlife, all the fish, all the things that are within that water are now full of radiation. And you need to remember that if you actually get a particle, and it can be microscopic, and you actually get it in your lungs, you're done. Just one. Okay? But we're talking about gazillions. We're talking about infinitesimal. There's not even an ability to count these that's being poured into the ocean. And so, fish, be careful. I stopped eating fish, people. I don't trust any of it. Okay? I mean, some of the stuff that's out there, and the starfish, you know, the there in Seattle, there's an underwater park, and 3 years ago I was hearing of starfish that were walking in two different directions and splitting apart, and or trying to pick them up and they just turned to mush. And this has been going on a long time, so this isn't anything new. And now they're admitting that they're allowing high amounts, or the actual water that was on the rods, now they're just dumping it straight in the ocean. Okay? So, what if God was not in control? Because that's what some people say. Well, if God's not in control, then he's not God. Now, I know there's lots of arguments, and we've talked about this. We did a show on it. But I have to have, when I do deliverance, the understanding that God's got my back. And the authority that is in me is because of my acceptance of Jesus Christ, who has been given all authority that is in me. And if Jesus lives in me, then when I speak and when I do, then therefore I am or I can. I have the faith to do it. And if God's not in control, then I don't have that. Now, with the faith of a mustard seed, I can move mountains, right? With those things that, and what's the opposite of faith? Fear. And I've worked with a couple people recently that have had fear. And we need to understand who we are. And who we are, who I am, and who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. You are an heir to the kingdom. You are loved. You are adored. You are treasured. You are a jewel in the eye of the Most High God. And you have been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. So we either can or we can't. And if I have faith, then we can. But my point is that what if the churches had been doing what they were supposed to do? What if they've been teaching spiritual warfare? What if they've been teaching straight out of the Bible? What if they've been following the elder board instead of the headship of a capstone pyramid corporate executive like a pastor? What if they've been doing deliverance? We wouldn't have Obama in the White House. We wouldn't have reptilians in the Pentagon and the CIA and the FBI. We wouldn't have FEMA camps. We wouldn't have the Department of Homeland Security. We wouldn't have NSA. We wouldn't have CIA, because that's totally run by the Illuminati. And we need to understand who is the Illuminati. Well, they're reptilians. They are the seed of Satan. They are those who have every intent in destroying all of us. And whether they come in the form of a hybrid, whether they come in the form of a clone, whatever they do, they're not human, and they don't have the Spirit of God in them. And the more that the reality of that comes to us, the more we can step back and see the big picture. And it's not a pretty one. In fact, it's heartbreaking. The very fact that what is coming is coming tells us that we need to hunker down in Jesus, period. No ifs, ands, or buts. And I'm trying to encourage everyone to understand that, you know, we're in this fight whether we like it or not. There is no way out of it. And we're to continue with business as usual until the return of Jesus Christ. And so that means that we roll our sleeves up and we move forward. Now, somebody that I was talking to today, I was trying to instill that, to give them that understanding that regardless of how demons come about, regardless of what goes on, and also to remember too that there is technology out there too that can cause headaches and ringing of the ears, voices in the head, you know, acting like you've got dementia, you know, or you're lethargic, you can't think and everything else. And so we're under a great bombardment. And so in order for us to be successful, then we have to stand up. We have to say no. Be assertive in our walk with the Lord and take back what the enemy has stolen from us. I wanted to, before I get too much into this, I'm trying to resolve the issues for Blog Talk. So what I've done, I started last night working on, I mentioned I would do this, you know, I've got scotthensler.org, and then I have also scotthensler.com. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take scotthensler.com and I'm going to turn that into the archives for our shows. And I've built the site, I built it last night. And so it's going to take a while to load the media into it because there's a lot of, you know, a lot of data there. And so hopefully what I can do then is alleviate your frustrations of trying to listen to the archives of the past shows. And there's like 200 and something shows. So I've got a lot of uploading to do, which I can do it. FTP, if anyone's familiar with that. I think it'll go faster if I do it that way and then address the individual files. But then hopefully then I can steer you to that, and then I'll just update those, you know, every couple days, you know, as we do the shows, and then you'll have those. And that way you can download them and it'll play in a regular player and you don't have to worry about, you know, Blog Talk. I mean, they're doing everything they can to frustrate us. Because we've talked to them, you know, we've done what we can, and it's just not working out. And so what I'm going to try and do now is I may have Mixler fixed now. So what I'm going to do then, I'm going to bring Mixler back on. And so I'm going to do some rearranging again with everything here, and I'm going to do that. And so I'll point you towards Mixler once I have that. there was a bug in their software, and it was locking up my computers. And it didn't matter what computer I used because of Windows 8. Windows 8 is the biggest piece of junk I've ever seen. I absolutely hate it, and I know a lot of you do. And I'm trying to avoid 10. You know, I'd rather have 7 or go back, but these, you know, I've got things already set up with other software, and if I start changing it, you know, it's just a mess. So that's what I'm going to do. Oh, by the way, when I was talking about the flag, Snopes does everything they can to discredit that information about what's really going on with the trim around the gold flag. And I've been saying it, and Julie brought it up again, that the people who run this, they're CI operatives. It's a husband and wife team, and their whole job is disinformation. And that is exactly what they're trying to do, is to keep us, again, in the dark. So don't fall for it. Don't even use Snopes, okay? I don't. Unless I want to find out what's going on. Because whatever they say, I do the exact opposite. I want to get back to them wanting to legalize. They're pushing for the laws to legalize bestiality. So what if that means that there'll be parlors? And I'm sorry, how disgusting that is, and just unbelievable. But they also want to legalize pedophilia. Do you understand what this means? Do you understand what this means? This means that you'll have to surrender your children. This means you'll get a notice in the mail that your grandson is now up for grabs. Did you hear what I just said? Do you see how twisted and sick these people are? See, that's why they're not human. Now, there are humans who are sick and twisted, yes. But this has gone to another level. And why are they doing this? Because, again, when the children who are innocent, when the demons defile them, it grabs a more legal right to have this world, to have the territory, to make the veil thin, to come and infect, to destroy. And that's right. Animals are you know, we've been put in charge. Okay, now listen to me. God put us in charge. So we have a responsibility to protect these animals, don't we? Look, there's those who are for food. We get that. But cruelty doesn't need to be a part of that. And unfortunately, you know, some of these food manufacturers do that. And now China's, you know, entered into it. But that's a defilement. That's strange flesh. That is an abomination. And that abomination is where demons can run amok. Now, we're already infiltrated. We're already infested. We're part of a system here that has been in place a very long time. And so you and I, as I talk to you, as you listen to me, we come into agreement under the authority of Jesus Christ to stand that these things do not take place. But where's the church? The very fact that this is even being addressed and bills being put in for pedophilia and bestiality, how come TBN isn't talking about it? Are you still going to church, and is your pastor talking about it? You're not going to hear a thing. Oh, when the bill gets passed, they're going to, this is absolutely terrible. No, preventative. Just like your health. Just like the reason we brush our teeth. why the reason we bathe. We prevent things from happening. Why we carry firearms. We prevent a robbery. We prevent a rape. We prevent murder. We have a right to protect ourselves. Again, you know, as you mentioned, they have no clue. Well, actually, some of them do. See, this is what I want you to understand. They actually do. See, when they come out of the seminaries, let me tell you a little story here. When I first moved up here to Coeur d'Alene, there was a church down the road here that I heard had, when it was under the original man, that he, you know, was a good man and he did the best he could, and he was not just only an evangelist but a missionary, and had done the groundwork and worked very hard, and had a very successful church that had, you know, great things that happened. And he became older and then eventually died, and then the church was taken over. And when I walked in with my friend that I came up to get, you know, he let me use his home. When we walked in, I looked at an alligator that was looking back at me. Now, why did I say alligator? Alligators have absolutely no emotions. You know, it's kind of like there was a poster years ago of a dog that was like six different pictures of this dog. And one picture was dog sad, dog happy, dog excited, dog this. And the pictures were all the same picture. Because, you know, they don't really show emotion. Now, some do, but you know what I mean. Well, when you look at a reptile, when you look at something like a shark or an alligator, they don't have any expression, but they're a killing machine. Their DNA, their programming is such that they just do what they do. See, we can't be mad at the alligator. It is what it does, right? So when I looked at this pastor, and he was looking back at me, I saw the same look that I would look into an alligator's eyes. Now, how do I know that? Well, years truly, years ago, when I went to Okeechobee, Florida, the Simian tribe or whatever the Indian tribe there, there was a job I had to do with, because there was, it was called the Red Barn, and it was where the Buffalo soldiers were staged, or some of them, during the Civil War. And what they used to do when they tick-dipped cattle, they actually used arsenic. So the whole area was tainted with arsenic, and the groundwater in Florida is not very deep, right? So I was on a project to help clean that up with different filters, and I was the electrician controls guy that came and did that stuff. And so I've never really been around alligators, right? I was raised in Arizona. And so I'm driving this forklift on the road that we use to move some stuff around. And I went over this bridge. And they have these canals that run through Florida, if you're familiar with Florida. It's part of the water runoff. And I saw all these alligators. I thought, well, that's interesting. So I stopped. I had a minute. And I get out. And I go over and I'm trying to go through this brush to get a better look at the alligators. Well, the guy that was the foreman had pulled over behind, and he went on the other side of this canal. And next thing you know, he's jumping him down and waving his arms and everything else, and I can't hear him. But I saw that he was panicking, and I stopped. And I turned around, and I went back, and I crossed over the bridge to him, and he points. And if I had pushed the last blade of grass, I would have been right on top of a bunch of alligators. But I had a chance to see them up close later, and there's absolutely no expression in them. They are killing machines. So as I came through the door in this church, a church that should be full of the love of God, that should have the Holy Spirit, that should be just reaping with the blood of Jesus Christ, a man looks at me, who I'm an exorcist, that, you know, I'd already been in the deliverance ministry for many, many years. He looks right at me and he wants to rip my head off. Tim Remington, that was shot several times here, from the information just prior to him being shot, he was looking at me the very same way. Now, excuse me, what is going on? If I'm doing the work of God through the Great Commission, commanded to us by Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, and I'm setting people free, I'm healing people, and I've had some wonderful testimonies this week, and I need those because it helps me move forward. Why do these people hate me? And why does a human have the look of a reptile? Do you see where I'm going with this? Now, as we pulled the associate pastor aside, a young man who just came out of seminary from the East Coast, and my friend and I did the battery of questions, and he failed at every count. Because what this young man said, that the Bible is simply something of information, it's full of gray, and is strictly influenced by man, and so therefore we can't take it seriously. We simply observe those things and act accordingly. Excuse me? All right. So the service had already started. The alligator was already up at the front. I walk in, and the ex-mayor of Coeur d'Alene is up with some woman who's speaking in a foreign language in prayer. I have no idea what it was. Arabic, I don't know, something along like that lines. And when she was done, everyone said, Amen. Excuse me? Ladies and gentlemen, as I look around, did anyone have any idea what that woman just said? And you came into agreement with it in the name of God? And so now the guy comes up and says, all right, we're going to take communion. And Jesus would want everyone, Christian or non-Christian, to come to the table. Excuse me? Do you see how out of order everything is? This is the garbage that's being taught in churches all over the place. Right now, over in Montana, today is the global awakening, and I can assure you that people are being highly infected with demons. And these people are going to come back and spew their demons on other people. If you have a disease, you get quarantined. Just like the leopards, right? And the reason is so it doesn't infect other people. When the Jews would deal with the dead, anyone that was the one who handled the dead had to stay outside the city for 3 days. Now, they'll tell you it's to see if that individual ends up with a disease. And I see where that could be so. But what they're not telling you is that when a person dies, the demons leave. So if you have somebody that's in your family that's near death, and now all of a sudden you're having headaches, now all of a sudden you're having depression, now all of a sudden you're having anger, what do you think's happening? The rats are jumping ship. And if you've got an open door, they're going to transfer to you. I deal with it all the time. I deal with widows all the time that have the same symptoms that their spouses had. All the time. So these people are going to come back, and they're going to continue with what they did over there. And it's probably not going to last long. I have a feeling Remember, I mentioned that I really believe this is a last-ditch effort to try and get the last remnant, or as many as they can. And I think there's going to be an acceleration. Yeah, no vacancy. I believe that there's going to be an incredible acceleration, that those who are infected are going to be very quickly overtaken. I think illnesses are going to set in. I think the outbursts, those psychotic, those instances that show the very nature of these demons is going to take place. So getting back to everything here, what if the church had been doing what it was supposed to do? Everything that I just told you wouldn't have taken place. We wouldn't be worrying about the FEMA camps. We wouldn't be worrying about the guillotines. And more information's coming out about that. Just think of that. Guillotines? Military movement on railroad tracks from one place to another of a mile and 2 mile long of all the armament necessary to take over cities? And who's going to be operating these things? It's not our military. You need to remember that. Not the true men and women that are in the military. Because this is the way this works. Let me bring this to your attention. When Building 7 went down, which was a demolition, the ones that set that up, oh by the way, floor 5 on that building had several million dollars invested into the structure of floor 5 and reinforced the windows with bulletproof glass that all faced the trade towers. I don't know whether you know that or not. Why? Because that was the command center to orchestrate the Twin Towers to be brought down. Okay? Now, in the basement of Building 7 were all the original paper files of the documents of all the investigations, of all the criminal activity, of all the things of those things of Watergate, those things of the Kennedy assassination, anything that could incriminate the Bushes, anything that could incriminate anyone in the past, were held in the underground files of Building 7. That was a federal building. And Floor 5 was brought to hurricane standards to withstand. So when they brought that building down, what they did is they brought a demolition team in, and that first team that went in to make sure that those things were in place and were detonated, that there was an execution squad that came in and assassinated them. Because the firemen that came in that building, as they looked in the closets, as they looked behind the stairwells, were men in black attire, or at least people, much like a black ops, that were shot in the head. The firemen who brought that information to light to the public have all died. There isn't anybody around anymore. So when they brought Building 7 down, that and the explosions and the burning and everything else, that Floor 5, which was the control point for the Twin Towers, that was eliminated. All the files down in the storage of the basements were incinerated. And so anything to tie in paper form of the past was completely eliminated of the Bushes, Nixon, Ford, FBI, anything was eliminated. Now everything is computer. Do you see how that works? So when we see how they were able to orchestrate this, that man himself cannot do this. Man isn't smart enough. Man doesn't have the coordination. Man doesn't have the gall. And so when we take a step back and look at history, when we look at past wars and we look at other countries that fell to other countries, we can say with assurance now that the leaders of those particular movements that caused the devastation were not human. Because what we have today, that those who did that then, that the spirit that was in them are now in the leaders of today. So what if the churches have been doing what they were supposed to do? Those spirits would have never succeeded. Those spirits would have been cast to the pit. Millions, if not billions of people over the centuries would not have died a horrible death, would not have been sacrificed, would not have been eaten, would not have been set on fire, would not have had their heads cut off. And today we would live in a world that is in God's order, divinely guided, in the way that He intended. But we are a fallen man. We fell from the garden. Satan actually has this world. And we're in a battle and we're in a fight until the return of Jesus Christ. Period. And the very fact that churches aren't telling you this tells you that they're in bed. They're in cahoots. So if you say that a pastor doesn't have a clue, there was a point that I gave them a grace, but I can't do that anymore. I'm holding them responsible. When Paul tells us that those who want to be teachers, that he warns us and reminds us that a greater standard is held. And so if they truly are men of God, then they would have heard from the Holy Spirit. So I no longer will subscribe to the fact that they're just ignorant. I believe that across this nation, over a long period of time, that they have been willfully in bed with Satan, that they themselves are Satanists. Now, are there good people in churches? Of course there is. Are there good pastors? Yes. But when we run the numbers, when we look at the probability, when we see how things have turned out the way they have, there's something wrong. Because true men and women of God can take down an enemy, can take down demons, can take down a fallen angel, can take down Satan corporately. And here we are, waiting to be slaughtered. So I'm not going to give grace to any pastor anymore. You either hear from God or you don't. And as I mentioned, as I walked in that church and I was looking at an alligator, that man was of the seed of Satan. And when I came in, a man who casts out demons, who sets people free, his demons were in lockdown. That's why he was looking at me that way. They were freaking out. He knew that I knew that he knew. Happens all the time. In fact, I've mentioned before, some of these I call looky looks. We ever looked over a fence? You know, all you can do is you get your nose up there and you just barely look over the top. Well, that's what demons do in some people's eyes. A person's eyes will look normal, and then all of a sudden you think, you know, for a long time, some that I've seen now I know are reptilian. And I always used to write it off just as being, you know, a demonic manifestation that the demon came up, which does happen. But I call them looky looks because they'll come up and then they look at me and they know I know that I know. and they know I know that they know, and then it goes back down. And sometimes we're in a group of people where, you know, it's not the time for things because everyone else can't deal with it anyways. But see, if there was a time when we were trained and taught and instructed and set out just like the 70, that's exactly what they did. They didn't take any prisoners. And those people that they went to were set free. And that's what needs to be taking place. And God will pour out His Spirit. He's promised to do that. So let's just look to Him for that to happen. All right. Well, again, I'm only going to do the hour tonight. And Julie, tomorrow, you know, Friday 13th, she'll be here for that. But, you know, if you get a chance, if you're a new listener, go to some of my old teachings if you can bring them up. But I did put some of them on YouTube. And I talk about the straw man. Okay, I talk about those things that show that we're actually under a martial maritime law, and that our kids are not ours. They're actually belongs to the corporation. You and I are a commodity on the New York Stock Exchange, and people like Clinton, by the way, when they got us in debt with the Chinese, guess who owns us? And guess who's going to come calling for us? That's right. Since we are a corporation that has worth, that is documented as an item on the stock exchange, and then that we've been traded for capital, and now that the bills have not been paid, the repo man's coming. And so this is one of the things that the international courts is upholding, is for the right for the note holder to come and take back what is their property. And that's part of what's going on. So hang on to your kids. All right, I'm going to end in prayer. Father, for those that are listening that they find this information disturbing, and it is, the very fact that we're in this situation is alarming. But we also know that it is not by mistake that we are alive in these days. And so, Father, I ask that your Spirit pours out upon them, that as they go to their prayer closet, that you speak to them. As they sleep, that you come to them in their dreams and visions and reveal to them what you have for them in these last days. But also, Father, for that love and warmth that comes upon them that only comes from you, that as that surrounds them, that they can be still and know that you are God. And, Father, direct and guide them to your will for your purpose. And as they move forward and to be obedient for you, that you bless them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Good night, everybody.